The Bible reading tonight is from the Gospel of John and John chapter 13. The Gospel of John and the chapter 13. We're going to read most of the chapter, the opening 30 verses, in fact. And I want you to follow it. I want you to think about what's said here by inspiration, what God has for us, and what power there is in the Word, and in the simple reading of it, even in the congregation, as we read the Word of God, God speaks. And I pray as we read it now that God will speak to our hearts and teach us the things that we need to know for tonight's meeting. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, the opening verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Ending the reading, verse 30, we trust as ever that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. So a number of months ago, as I was reading through the Gospel of John, I was greatly struck by the passage that I've just read, and particularly I was struck by what I want to use as a text tonight in verse 27, where the Bible tells us concerning Judas Iscariot, Satan entered into him. And it's not that I'm particularly going to preach on that phrase, but the phrase here, I wanted to really mean something to you tonight. I want you to see what's happening here. I want you to see this man, Judas Iscariot. And I put a title on the message, and the title is this, A Deception of Unfathomable Solemnity. A deception of unfathomable solemnity. Satan entered into him. With the word before us, with that text I've mentioned to you, let us pray. It is with earnestness that we seek thee again in prayer. Lord, as we draw to the close of this service, and we've read this passage of Scripture, and we've mentioned the text that we're going to ponder, certainly at least what's happening here, and what the passage is teaching us, and what the Lord has to say in the Scripture about this man, Judas Iscariot, we can but pray earnestly that God will speak to every heart. Teach us the things of God. And Lord, for any in this meeting that needs to hear this message particularly, teach the Word of God to them. Bring them to a place in this service where they feel as if they're the only person present. Oh God, have a message for them. Single them out. Just as if nobody else was here in this meeting. Lord, single them out that personally and speak to them powerfully. Bring them to Christ. Fill me now with God, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I find it most difficult to understand how we get from Mark chapter 3, where our Lord ordained 12 chosen apostles, Judas included, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to cast out devils, to what we read here in John chapter 13, where Satan enters into Judas. And he goes out into the darkness of the night to carry out his evil work of betrayal. How can it happen? How do you get from the place of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to where Satan enters into a man? And just really in a short period of time, all this happened from the time that Judas was commissioned to what we read in this passage of Scripture in a little over 3 years. And we think of those 3 years in which this man walked in the presence of the Savior, and the apparent intimacy and closeness that he had with Christ and served him, it would seem, in the very same manner as the other 11. and was sought to be genuinely one of them, just as much as Peter, James, and John were. It is, in my mind, incredible, almost inexplicable, how a person gets from this position of visible, outward, unmistakable service to Jesus Christ to end up, without a shadow of a doubt, reprobate in mind and heart, never truly converted, and committing the sins of which the Bible speaks that he committed. Judas Iscariot was a liar. Judas Iscariot was a robber. And Judas Iscariot was the betrayer of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us so. As you come to the record of John 13, the end is near. The shadow of the cross has descended. The sufferings of Calvary are lurking. And soon Jesus would have his intimate conversation with his dear disciples before leaving for the agonies of Gethsemane and then Golgotha. The table talk, as it is sometimes called, is just about to take place. And you have it from verse 31. We read the verse 30. And then we have from verse 31, when Judas Iscariot has gone out, the Lord entering into a very close, intimate conversation with his beloved 11 disciples who were still sitting around the table that is recorded here in the last verses of chapter 13, chapter 14, 15. We can include chapter 16, and then we go on to have recorded for us the great high priestly prayer of the Savior before he went to the cross. It is the evening before our dear Savior died. At that untimely hour, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews, may still have been in session, plotting to destroy Jesus. Judas had already been in conversation with some of these men. He had gone, we are told, to the chief priests and settled with them a price to betray Christ. In the word used by Luke, the word commune, that's the word that he used. Judas went and he communed with the chief priests. It is suggested that there was a certain amount of bargaining, a certain amount of haggling before the actual amount was settled, 30 pieces of silver. And Matthew tells us from that time, he, that is Judas, sought opportunity to betray him. Now, at the Passover, we see Judas Iscariot reclined on one of the chairs. That's how they would have eaten in Bible times, gathered around the table, and their couches or their chairs, they would have reclined on them. And in all likelihood, he's reclined on the left side of Christ. On the right side, there's another man that's identified in this passage of Scripture as the beloved disciple. We believe to be the author of John's Gospel. Doesn't identify himself by name, but he calls himself the beloved disciple. And he's there on the right side of the Savior. He could easily lean backward and rest his head on the bosom of his friend. We see them all gathered there around the table, and the Lord exclaims with a note of innermost satisfaction, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And that word that is used there, it has the thought of deep desire, deep longing. The Lord looked forward to this moment, this Passover that was to be celebrated, and eventually the institution of the Lord's Supper. He looked forward to it with great intent, to be with his disciples in these moments before going to the cross. And of course, those emblems at the Lord's table were going to speak so vividly about the body and the blood of Christ and what he came to do and the great work of redemption. The Lord looked forward to it with great desire. The Lord knew all about Judas, of course, the true condition of his heart, the insincerity of his profession, the pretense and the play acting of the past 3 years, and what Judas was soon to do. We have this amazing account of Christ rising from the table and taking a towel and washing the disciples' feet. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but just to say in passing, the Lord was teaching something here. He was teaching humility, and he was teaching love to these disciples. You just mark what is recorded in verse 15, where Jesus says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." This washing off the feet of the disciples. He who is the Savior of the world, the very God of glory, stooping down at the feet of the disciples in an act of great humility and an act of love. He said, "This is an example, and I want you to follow it, and here is how I want you to treat one another." It is at this very time he speaks the words that tell us about the evil work of Judas Iscariot. Mark verse 18. "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Mark also verse 21, with reference to Judas Iscariot again. "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now, of course, what the Lord said here created a sense of absolute bewilderment. They could not take it in that one of them, sitting at the table, one of the chosen 12, was going to betray Jesus Christ. And that brought them to ask the question individually, one by one, "Lord, is it I? Is it me?" And we also know that John tells us here specifically that Peter beckoned to him to ask the Lord who it might be. And we had that in verse 24, "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him," to John, "that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake." And then we have the words of verse 26, where Jesus gives the answer, and he says, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. I often think of this passage of Scripture and the related chapters where we have the very same scene recorded for us by the other gospel writers. Jesus knew exactly who it was that was going to betray him. He knew that from the beginning. And of course, Judas Iscariot knew who it was because he had already been engaged in making a plot against the Savior. He had already agreed a price to sell the Lord and to betray him. For 3 years, Judas had played his part so well, insomuch that not one of his fellow disciples suspected him. And so they all began to ask, "Lord, is it I?" If they had have suspected Judas, they probably would have said, "Lord, we know who it is. It's Judas." But knowing the corruption of their own nature and the darkness of their own hearts, each one of them asked this question, "Lord, is it I?" And John asks, "Lord, who is it?" To which Jesus Christ replied in the words that we've just read in verse 26, as he gives a quotation from a familiar psalm. Now, of course, the Lord saying what he did say in verse 26, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it," it narrowed it down a little bit as to who this person was going to be. In fact, in my mind, it had to be one of two or three people. It had to be those that were sitting nearest to Christ, at least in reach of this particular vessel that the Lord speaks about here. They were near enough to Christ to reach the common dish in which Jesus dipped his bread. And so it's all becoming more apparent to Judas Iscariot that the Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew his plans. He should have known that anyhow. Having been with the Lord for these years, he should have recognized, well, the Lord knows everything. He knows the intents of the heart. He knows the thoughts of man. But as this conversation is developing around the table and the Lord is now speaking in clearer terms, it's becoming all the more apparent to Judas Iscariot that the Lord knows exactly what I'm thinking. The Lord knows exactly what's in my heart. He knows exactly what I'm about to do. As the Lord still knows everything about us. And that ought to make us sit up. And that ought to make us all the more careful how we live our lives, every second of every day. The Lord knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you're with. He knows exactly what you're saying. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows every sin that you commit. And he not only sees those things that are outward that men could say and observe, but he sees the very intent of the heart. He looks right in, and he knows exactly what we're thinking. Possibly to deflect any suspicion away from himself and to test how much the Lord really knew, Judas asked the question. Well, everybody else had asked the question. Judas now decides he'll ask the question too. Lord, is it I? Am I the one? And incidentally, he used the word rabbi, which is the colder term. Didn't call him Lord here, but he used the word rabbi, is it I? To which the Lord replied, thou hast said. You know what? The other disciples still didn't even understand what was happening here and still didn't grasp who it actually was that was going to betray the Savior. They didn't realize it was Judas. It is now that we read the words of our text in verse 27 that after the sup, after the Lord had handed Judas Iscariot the sup, or dipped the sup and gave it to Judas Iscariot, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And note what it says in the following verses. Now no man at the table knew for what intent Jesus spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas had the bag, he was the treasurer, he had the money. And why was the Lord speaking to him in such terms? What you've got to do, do it quickly. Did the Lord mean, this is the thoughts of the disciples, that he was to go and buy something that was needed for the feast that was now to follow? Or was he to go and buy something for the poor? Which reminds us, by the way, that the Lord must have often given to the poor from the money that they had. This is the thoughts of the disciples. The Lord must have done that many times. But are not the words of verse 30 very solemn and appropriate when we read what we've just read? He, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. It is as though the black darkness into which Judas went out into was a befitting symbol of the blackness of darkness that was enveloping his soul. It describes the work that Judas now sets himself to perform. He's going out with this intent to betray the Lord. And it also describes the eternity to which he would soon descend into, the blackness of darkness forever. When I read my text, I want you to bear with me. I want you to try and see where I'm coming from. When I read my text, Satan entered into him. When I see the reality of what is happening here, I have to confess I'm shocked. How can a man get from this place to that place? As I said earlier, how can he get from preaching the gospel to betraying Christ and dying in his sin and being lost forevermore? Regarding Judas, we are dealing with deception of gigantic proportions. You can hardly take it in. Because we're going to see this evening just just for a short time, how far this man really went in religion, in church life, in service to Jesus Christ, serving him every day for the period of time, 3.5 years. How far he came to being near to the Lord, and yet all he had, all he possessed was a charade. It was a forgery. It was a false profession. For Judas is in hell and he's lost forever. The grace of God was never in him. The salvation of Christ never changed him. He died as he lived. And how was that? A lost, impenitent, unforgiven soul. And I read such things tonight. And I have to say this. You've got to take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're using the words that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and of course the setting is to do with the Lord's table. Let a man examine himself, because the scripture calls upon you and I to do just that. You read the story of Judas Iscariot, I think of that text, let a man examine himself. In fact, that is exactly what the apostle went on to write to the Corinthian church when he wrote the second letter and the very last chapter, chapter 13 and verse 5. And this is what he said to the professing church at Corinth. And we know what that church was like. We know the awful sins that were found there, sins of disunity, sins of carnality, sins of immorality, terrible sins that were in that church, and Paul had to address them one by one when he wrote to the Corinthian church. Now as he's addressing them, coming to the close, this is what he said to them. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine, he says. But not only examine, prove. And that's a little bit stronger. You can examine something, whether it's an animal, a horse, or a tractor, whatever it might be. You can examine it, go around it thoroughly, look at it, read all about it, but you can examine it without proving it. Put your life to the test. You not only want to examine, but you want to prove yourself before God that you are the Lord's child, that Jesus Christ is in you, and you want to prove that. How do you prove it? You prove it by the way you walk with God and live your life. And so we're dealing here with deception of unfathomable solemnity. Judas Iscariot does not stand alone. One out of the 12. He does not stand alone, has not stood alone through the centuries of time, right to the modern day. There are many people like him to this present hour. And so as we draw our thoughts together, just as we close the meeting tonight, there's just a few things I want to say. I will not be long, but I want you to think about this man. We're thinking about a text that tells us Satan entered him. We're thinking about how do you get from here to here? How can you get from being a preacher of the gospel to being a betrayer of Christ? And all that in between, that life of hypocrisy, that life of just having an empty profession, how does that happen? How is it possible? Four very quick things. Number one, Judas Iscariot was a chosen apostle, chosen by the Lord. Now, the words disciple and apostle are often used interchangeably. in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. And I have no problem with that because we can refer to the 12 disciples, we can refer to the 12 apostles, and they are identifying the very same people. There are exactly 12 men who were chosen by Christ to be with him, particularly in that period that we call the earthly ministry of Christ that lasted for 3.5 years. The list is given on a number of occasions, and we can identify them because the names are given in that list. In fact, the Gospel of John makes no distinction between the two terms as far as who is meant is concerned. It means the same man. However, there is a distinction in the meaning. The word disciple very simply means a follower, one who follows. And in the case of the New Testament, as we are speaking about it in the context, a follower of Jesus Christ, one who follows the Lord. Now, men had their disciples. Some of the great masters in Israel, the great rabbis, they had their disciples, people who followed them, followed their teachings, sat in their classes, esteemed them highly, believed what they said. And in the case here, we're thinking about one who follows the Lord. That's what a disciple is. The word apostle means one who is sent. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos. The first little part of that word, apo, means from, and stelo means I send. And it refers to a messenger who was sent. And Judas Iscariot was such a one. He was an apostle. He was one who was sent to be a messenger, to be an ambassador for Christ. And you want to think about that for a moment. These men, as we think of the 12, were sent out by the Lord. They were sent out to preach the gospel. They were sent out to proclaim the gospel of grace. Judas Iscariot was a preacher. He was an elder. He was an apostle. He was a minister. He was ordained by Jesus Christ. The Bible says he ordained these men. Ordained them to the Christian ministry. Now, the Lord knew exactly who he was ordaining when he ordained Judas Iscariot, and there was a great purpose in that. But the point I'm making tonight is we see how far a man can go and not truly be the Lord's child, an apostle of Christ. You want to see the heights to which he ascended. Everyone looked in him, and they never doubted. No, not for one moment that he was any different than the other 11. What about you tonight? We don't have apostles today. But we can ascend into the heights of religious experience and still not be the Lord's child. A chosen apostle. The second thing I want to say about Judas is that he was with Christ for 3.5 years during his earthly ministry. Now, you've got to see something of the immeasurable privilege here. We're not talking about just being one in the crowd. And I think that that would have been an immeasurable privilege, just to be there when the Lord preached the word, or when the Lord performed some great miracle that, like the feeding of the 5,000 after he had preached the word, just to be there on one occasion. And there were people that had that privilege. Or maybe to be there on a number of occasions. We think of the crowds that thronged the Lord. We think of those times when the Bible says that they followed him. Everywhere he went, they followed him. They wanted to hear more. And so there were those in the days of Christ that saw the Lord and heard the Lord at least on one occasion, and for some on a number of occasions. But we're speaking about a man tonight who had this opportunity day after day, week after week, month after month, for a period of 3.5 years. Listening to Christ, the greatest preacher in the world. And never man spake like he spake. For he spoke with authority that was his own divine, omnipotent authority. You can think of all those sermons that Judas must have heard, like the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, as that sermon comes to a conclusion, some very solemn things are said by the Lord. And some very solemn things that I believe had a very direct bearing on Judas Iscariot himself. Lord, Lord, open to me. And the professions that are being made, Lord, prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did many wonderful works in your name. Judas Iscariot did that. And yet the Lord says, never knew you. Never knew you. You were never mine. You were never converted. Judas Iscariot listened to that message. That was in the earlier part of the Lord's ministry. He must have heard messages like the one that was preached to Nicodemus on the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that whole exposition on the great doctrine of regeneration, the giving of life to a dead soul, the new birth, being born again of the Spirit. And how he went on to speak of the manifest love of God in John 3 and 16. That was to Nicodemus too. We think of other sermons like the second coming, Matthew 24 and 25, like the subject of hell, Luke 16, Savior being the preacher, the judgment day. And you can go through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at the sermons of Christ. And I dare say tonight that Judas Iscariot probably heard them all. All the ones that are recorded and all the ones that were not recorded. It was impossible to record everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did. But Judas, for that period of time, 3.5 years, was in the immediate presence of Christ. And he heard his sermons and he witnessed his miracles. And he sat beneath all the teaching that the Lord gave in that period. Felt his love. And he was there all the time, undetected, unsuspected, and unknown by the others concerning the true character of his heart. With Christ, almost at the end, we have to say, this is the night before the Lord was crucified. So we say, right to the end of the ministry of the Lord, Judas was there. And I ask you tonight, how many sermons have you heard? How many miracles of grace have you witnessed? How often have you been brought near to the Lord? You've lost count. In a very real sense, you have been in the company of Jesus Christ. When you've come to meetings and you've sat in the house of God and the Lord has drawn near and he's blessed those services in which we gathered, in the hymn singing and in the reading of the Word of God and the preaching of divine truth, we have to say, of those times, there was a real conscious sense of the Lord's nearness, as there is, I believe, tonight. You have sat in the presence of the Lord over and over again. Judas Iscariot did. If I can make a very quick point, he was present on this remarkable occasion that we read about this evening. This is the night before the cross. The Passover is celebrated the last time that these believers would celebrate the Passover that marked the great exodus of the Israelites from the land of Egypt and all the significant teaching there of Christ, who is our Passover, our Paschal Lamb, the one that was crucified for us. Christ washes the feet of his dear disciples. He stoops at the very feet of Judas Iscariot and he washes Judas Iscariot's feet. And this is, we have to say, a remarkable occasion when the Lord was teaching them something very pointed, as I've said, humility and love. Judas was there. He was there. It was a privilege. And one other point, he possessed intimate knowledge of Christ. Having been with the Lord in that period of time, he had to have intimate knowledge of the Savior. The deity of the Savior was clearly discerned. It was clearly discerned in the words that Jesus spoke. Times that the Lord very clearly indicated to people around him, and especially to his disciples, who he was. That he was God manifested in human flesh. He was indeed the great I Am. Before Abraham was, I Am. Taking upon himself the great title of Jehovah God. And not only in the words that he spoke, but in the works that he performed. The deity of Christ in all those miracles was clearly seen. For he worked by his own divine power. Christ's power to save was witnessed. Think of that extended period of his ministry, when he went out and preached the word and souls were converted to Christ. The purpose of Christ was known by Judas, the mission, why the Lord had come into this world. Often it was discussed how that the Savior would be taken one day by cruel hands and put upon the cross, crucified. That day that he would be lifted up. Remember just in the previous chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 12, we read there in verse 32, if I, Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Clear reference to the cross. The Lord spoke about the fact that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Judas Iscariot had this intimate knowledge of the very purpose of Christ. He knew that the Lord had come to save men, to change lives, to make men holy. And you know these things tonight also. You have intimate knowledge of the Lord. You're not in darkness. You're not without light tonight. You're not some heathen sitting in the midst of some dark place in the world where the name of Christ has never been mentioned, where the word of God has never been preached. No, you are familiar. You have intimate knowledge of who Christ is. Now, I could say so much more about Judas, but what I've said is sufficient just to give an insight how near this man came to the Lord, how religious he was, how much involved in service to Christ he was. And yet, we read in verse 2 how the devil puts it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Christ. And in our text, Satan entered into him. The devil will seek to enter into man. At the very least, he will seek to influence man and persuade them. And do you know what you've been doing? You've been listening to that year after year after year. Every time you sat in a gospel meeting and the word of God was preached and the gospel of Christ was presented to you and you knew what you needed to do, you listened to what the devil had to say. And the devil's come very near. If he hasn't entered you, he certainly has influenced you to stay away from Christ and not be saved. Don't forget where Judas is. He went out into the darkness. The last verse that we read, verse 30. Speaking so clearly of that darkness into which he soon went when he died without the Lord and was lost. This son of perdition, as the Savior called him. And he's there now. It's been there all the centuries. We're talking about nearly 2,000 years. Judas Iscariot has been in hell for 2,000 years. And he will be in hell for all of God's eternity because he's lost. He's lost forever. And it's an awful thing. And this is really the burden of the message and the burden that was in my heart as I read this passage of Scripture, wondering, how do you get from here, so involved in the Lord's work, to here, outright betraying the Lord and dying in your sin, never truly having known the Lord as your Savior? How does it happen? Because I tell you, it's a serious thing for someone so prominent, so privileged, so gifted, so used, so close, so knowledgeable, to end in such a way. And that's why I say, take heed. Don't you fool about with God's salvation. Don't you fool about with your soul, your immortal soul, thinking that there was a time I made a profession, I became a disciple of Christ, I began to follow him, I have served the Lord. Don't you think in your heart tonight, just because you've done these things and said some kind of a prayer, that it's well with your soul? No, the Bible says, examine yourself and prove yourself. And you make sure that Jesus Christ is in you. As I tell you this, if Jesus Christ is in you, that will be evident. It'll be evident to you. It'll be evident to everybody around you too. May God search out our hearts tonight Maybe I'm speaking to someone and all you have is a profession, an empty profession. You've never been converted. And you've been fooling about these years. Fooling everybody. Judas fooled everybody. Maybe even deceived himself. But he didn't deceive the Lord. How is it with your soul? Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Let us pray. Our God and Father, just give thanks for help to bring this message. Not an easy message to bring, but it's your word. Judas Iscariot was a real person that lived in this world. A real person who met the Son of God, who was an apostle, who was there for 3.5 years in the companionship of the dear Savior, who heard all his sermons and saw his mighty works, and yet he died in his sin, never truly knowing him. Lord, don't let it be said that there were those who came to the free church here in Ballymoney or other free churches, sat under the ministry of the Word of God, brought near to the kingdom, brought near to Christ himself, and just went through life merrily, fooling everybody and fooling themselves, and yet not truly knowing the Lord. If Christ be in us, then we will know it. Judas didn't know it. But Father, if Christ lives in us, we will know it for sure. We pray that thou wilt help your people to live for your glory in these days. And may the life of Christ who is in us be seen by the outside world, for Jesus' sake. Amen.